go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 66 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Had a topic I was going to discuss in the opening of this episode, which is 66 of Verbal Graffiti. We're going to push that to the second segment, if any of you reach there in this episode. Reason being is I had a conversation earlier this afternoon, and now there's something on the forefront of my mind, a certain word. Some of you may view this word as vulgar. Let's discuss. Earlier this afternoon, I told a babe I want to take her out on a date. And I tell people, babes, when I want to go out on a date, I don't ask. A few years ago, someone described it to me as when you ask somebody to go out on a date or to do something for you, that is very puppy-like. And when you tell somebody you want to do something, that's a more boss-like, authoritative. So I'm sure some of you have supervisors, bosses at work. They tell you what your assignments are, so you have to do them. So anyway, earlier this afternoon, tell this babe I want to go out on a date with her. We were chatting a little bit via text, and she agreed to the date. And in my follow-up as well, we'll do this activity, and I want you to dress up like a slut. I'm a bit more direct than others, most of you. Those were maybe verbatim, my words. I want you to dress up like a slut. Her response was, did you really just say that? And her follow-up to that was, well, I'll try to. I'll think of what I have, but I'm more of a conservative dresser. And then I started reflecting. I started that inward mind of mine, that mush between my ears, started working and tinkering. And I'm trying to, like, we know what a slut is. Like, the definition of a slut is literally someone who just has a lot of sexual partners. Now, I don't view that as a negative, but what is a slut? Or what gives that form? What gives that, like, what defines what a slut is? And I personally, when I asked this future date of mine to dress like a slut, I was thinking apparel, you dress gaudy with the hoop earrings, with the choke necklace, a lot of makeup, maybe a short, tight skirt where your vulva is hanging out that you might trip over. A top showing a lot of cleavage, maybe some cheap perfume that you get from Walmart with that glitter. You know that glitter that you could put on your cleavage that kind of makes it shine a little bit more stripper-esque, if you will. That was what was in my mind. But now when she told me she's a more of a conservative dresser, that's when I started doing some deep thinking, some Thomas Sowell type thinking. And upon reflection, I took 30 minutes to really think about what is a slut other than just the way you look? I'm workshopping this. So I'm not marrying myself to what I'm about to say, the definition of what a slut is. And it might there might be amendments to this in future episodes of Verbal Graffiti. So I just want to preface what I'm about to say with all of that, that this is clay. You know, I'm building the Statue of David here with the word slut. Slut, the more I think about it, slut is it's more than just your appearance. It's more than the gaudy clothing. In fact, that's nothing to do with it. Sometimes I'll be out late at night in a metropolitan area. A lot of times I'm in Connecticut, so that'll be New Haven, Stamford, West Hartford, Hartford, on a Friday, Saturday night doing stand-up comedy. And inevitably, I'll walk by a club. There'll be a nightclub with the young people go, and, they hoozy it up. And there'll be a line outside, and a lot of the babes out there will dress what you and I probably perceive as a slutty attire. Same thing I had mentioned before, just a tight clothing, cleavage, showing their body, their form, whether they're hot or not. Most of them are not. That's really, the more I think about it, though, that's not slutty, because that's how you're supposed to, it's not how you're supposed to dress when you go to a nightclub. It's just you're not, no one's looking at you sideways if you dress scantily to a nightclub where you're going to dance, get drunk, have a one-night stand, and possibly get pregnant and or get one of those various venereal diseases that, you know, you could get if you have unprotected sex with someone you had just met. Not judging here. Hey, I think we also get STDs. That way, none of us will look down upon each other. Whoa, that was a bit of a diverge right there. Let me back on topic, though. But all the ladies there are dressed like that. So if everyone's dressed like that in that skimpy attire, then it's not really slutty. That's just that's more culture than it is slut. So that's when it hit me. It's like, oh, just the way you dress, that doesn't determine if you're a slut or not. So it's got to be something more than just the gaudy, the threadbare fabrics that you're wearing out at night. Again, these pauses are because I'm doing some internal thinking. I'm thinking before I talk, and sometimes I'm talking before I think at the same time. So that's why this is more jelly-like with those sliced banana in it. So it's not as smooth as regular red Jell-O. Slut is so much more than the clothing that you wear out. It's an attitude. It's an aura. It's the way you walk. Being a slut, it's a state of mind. That is the key component of being a slut. To be a honorable slut, you got to have the state of mind of not caring what others think about you when you know they're thinking about you. That is the definition of slut. Now, let's put that into practice. What is that? So you dress up scantily. And you don't even have to dress up scantily. You just dress up in a way. Because I've seen people, babes, in turtlenecks that are kind of, they just got a slutty vibe to them. So a slut is when you, but babe, when you're out in public and you're walking and you have such an aura to you that you have bad intentions on your mind, and it's so clear and evident that strangers look at you and know you have those bad intentions on your mind, but you're such a slut that you don't care that they know or what they're thinking about your intentions, and you just go for what you want. So that is what separates a true honorable slut from just a skank on the outside of a club waiting to get past the bouncer. There is a clear distinction in my mind between honorable slut and wannabe slut, because it's all about your mindset. If you're going out with four girlfriends and you're all dressed up and you're saying, we're going to slut it up tonight, none of you are sluts. Being a slut is an individual. It's unique. So if all your girlfriends are dressed up the same way and you're going out with the same intentions, it's impossible to be a slut, because then you're a crew. And if you're a team, you cannot be a slut, because to be a slut is to be an individual. So to have four girlfriends going out slutty together disqualifies you from being a slut in my workshop mind right now. But again, I might amend that in the near future. Future episodes, maybe we'll go back on that definition. It's a very, there's a certain confidence a lady, a babe has to have to be a slut and not to take shade or not, because you're going to get arrows. Like if you're going to go out with a slut aura to you, there are going to be arrows flung your way because people want to knock you down. Because a slut is a competitor. That's somebody who's going out to win. And if somebody has a partner or someone doesn't have a partner and they're going after the same guy or same babe, you're going after, you're a competitor. So they're gonna name call, they're gonna cat call, they're gonna scratch you, they're gonna try to demean your character. And to be a slut, you have to internalize your sluttiness so that those arrows don't hurt you. And it almost becomes like Teflon. You just knock those arrows down and you just keep walking in your stilettos and you'll look back, but not in anger, just in a, no, I'm untouchable. I'm throwing a perfect game this evening. You are not going to hit my sluttiness out of me tonight or even this morning if you're really slutty. Is there anything else? What do you guys think? Am I overthinking the word slut and what it entails? Or do you think there is something more to being a slut other than just wearing hoop earrings and gaudy clothing and drinking cheap nips of what liquor are we? Nips of Belvedere vodka. There's so much more to... I need to do a little bit, regroup, rethink, maybe mold the definition of what a slut is a little bit more. Maybe we'll talk about that in segment two. Maybe we won't. That's the beauty of verbal graffiti. You never really know what's going to come out of the B-man's mouth because oftentimes I don't know before I say it. Excuse me, I just burped right there. I just had some pancakes and sausage for dinner because I'm a boss like that. That's kind of slutty material, eating breakfast for dinner. Because you're living life your own way. So in a sense, that is being a slut. All right. Let's go. Let's move on. I promise you the topic of slut and what a slut is, we'll talk about that in upcoming episodes. Because it seems like that is a topic that comes up every few minutes in verbal graffiti. So no fear, we'll approach that topic probably sooner than later. Found this one on the subreddit for seduction. What should I do if a guy hits on my GF, that'd be girlfriend, at the gym? ? Fundamentals. My girlfriend wants to go to the gym with me now. She usually gets hit on already outside the gym, but we ignore it directly. But in the gym, it's kind of different and things are physical, literally. What should be my proper response and also her response? When should I involve myself? As I itch my eye, I've been touching my face a lot the past few episodes. I noticed when I first started doing stand-up, I was touching my face all the time. So, that was one of the things I would constantly, that would be the one thing I would focus on stage at certain sets would be just don't touch your face. This set, need to get back to doing that during episodes of Verbal Graffiti. On to this guy's topic. I'll come out and say I am anti-couples going to the gym together. Now, it's fine if the couple, if you go to the same gym just at different times, that's perfectly okay. But together, I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a gym goer myself. I have been in the past. I am not, even though I got these huge biceps. The reason being is that when I go to the gym and when I see other people going to the gym, I want everybody to be on their game, to be focused. I don't want to be there with a babe, or if you're a babe with a guy, or if you're gay and you're with another guy. I don't want you there being all lovey-dovey, writing each other's name doodling each other's name in the margins of your notebook of where you track everything you're lifting. I want you doing your weight lifts, doing your cardio, get in, get out as soon as possible. Maybe the only conversation I want my listeners having at the gym is maybe if you're making business deals at the gym. I read a book once that said the most successful people in life go to the gym at 5:30. So if you want to make good connections, start going to your local gym fitness center at 5:30 a.m. I like where your head is at, though. I got to give you that. I like that you know what you're walking into. You know when you walk into your fitness center, your gym, with your lady who, if she's getting hit on outside the gym, let's just assume she's at least on a numeric scale, she is at least an 8, 9, or 10 in that top third range. You know you're in a minority. It's you and your lady versus everybody else. This is your personal, going to the gym with your girlfriend, this is your own personal battle of the bulge. You're going in there outnumbered. You're flanked on every side. They're coming at you from all angles. You think it's you and your girlfriend versus everybody else, but your girlfriend, she may not be a double agent. We'll soon find out in the upcoming months, and we certainly will. Knowing that this is your battle of the bulge, that was a battle in World War II. If you don't know, it was the U.S. U.S. versus the German troops, the Nazi troops. Look it up. It was an interesting battle. I'm not going to go on another history rant. Let's just move on. You're at the gym with your lady. Number one thing going in, you can't trust anybody. Like I said, it's everybody versus you and your girlfriend. So no matter how friendly you think someone may be, nah. Every guy in that gym is looking to backstab your girlfriend with his penis. That's what they want to do. That's why they're getting, they don't care about you and your workout. They're just trying to be friendly with you so that they could get in your girlfriend's yoga pants. That's their goal, and you got to know that's what their goal is, because that's the game. That is the game. That is the battle. That is the line being drawn. It's your lady's pussy lips, and those guys want to get past those. Now, it doesn't matter whoever the character may be. You know, you're going to have, and there's a lot of characters at the gym. There's mirrors on every wall. So every guy, every John at the gym is eyeing your lady wherever she is. If she is as hot as you're making her out to be in this post. Now, there are going to be the guys that are overtly, they're just outwardly without a fuck trying to get your lady, trying to fuck her. And when I talk about, what I'm trying to get at, those type of guys are the college, the early 20s, the guys who wear like the t-shirt to the gym, but they cut the sleeves off and then they cut the ribs out so you can see their ribs, like the side. The shirt is basically, it's almost like a bib. It shows the front, it shows the back, and then the sides. You see all ribs and side of the six pack. Those guys who usually show up at the gym at like 3 to 4:30 p.m. They're usually a group of three or four. They're there. They're in the free weights. They're going to ask your girl. Every time your girlfriend does any kind of leg workout where she's squatting, those guys, the outwardly trying to fuck your girlfriend guys, they're going to ask if she needs help squatting. So that's an easy target. You should be able to swat those down. Don't let any other guy help your babe, spot your babe while she's doing any type of free weight. Then you're gonna have the off-duty police officer. Now it could be a firefighter, it could be a blue-collar guy, maybe it's a lawyer. But you know who this guy is. He's a little bit more established in the community. He has some status. So he feels comfortable going up and talking to everybody and anybody. This guy, even though he's an upstanding member of your community, he's always going to be orbiting the water cooler, the water fountain. So anytime your babe goes to fill up her Nalgene bottle with water, that guy's going to be there. That off-duty police officer is going to be there chatting her up, trying to get her, not necessarily get her number. He's going to be trying to find out her story. And if he's a police officer or a lawyer, he's going to be, his mind's working. He's trying to figure out, okay, you got a boyfriend, he's here, but how serious do I have a shot? And he's probably very slick with his words because he's a lawyer or police officer, and he's going to use his language, his status in society, his verbal language. He knows how to talk. He's a smooth talker. He's placing himself by the waterfront, so he knows he's gonna get an interaction with your girlfriend. You gotta watch out for him. He's gonna shake your hand and try to bear back your girlfriend when you're not looking. So you gotta watch out for him. You always got a peripheral vision. Do not let that guy out of your eyesight. And then there's an alpha lion at the gym. There's just the guy who's brute force. He's got bigger biceps. He walks around like a gorilla. He's probably got a needle out of his ass, but he's the biggest guy at the gym. He can lift the most weights. He is, he's the top dog in your gym. And, he's friendly with everybody. He's outspoken. Maybe he's a grunter, but he talks with everybody and everybody. And he's Thursday, Friday afternoon, he's always going to be asking you and your girlfriend what you're doing at night, what your plans are. Oh, you're going out. You're going out with your coworkers. Well, afterwards, you said swing by Buffalo Wild Wings. Me and the guys, we're going to be there watching Thursday night football. He's going to be inviting you out every week, but that's not really never accept the invitation. Never, because that's an invitation for your girlfriend, not you. Now, you may tag along if you're stupid, but that's just a ploy to fuck your girlfriend. So and he's tough because he's the alpha dog. So what do? You have a couple options going into the gym. One is you go to that alpha dog guy, first day, you prison mindset, you punch him. You punch him in the middle of the free weight section before he even says a word, and you lay down the law right there. You just tell everybody with your actions that you're a crazy fuck, so you better not fuck with my girlfriend. You better not even give her a sideways look, because I'm willing to punch the biggest dog in this gymnasium, and even if you get your ass kicked, you prove the point. You're willing to fight for your lady. So that's one thing you could do. Another thing you could do, now some people will want me to be arrested for even coming up with this idea. What you can do, you can take a gimmick out of wrestling. I'm talking like WWE wrestling. What you can do is do what they do in wrestling sometimes is the Texas strap match. What I mean by that is you strap a leather rope from your wrist to your lady's wrist, and you have the rope be maybe 7 feet in length. So anytime your babe tries to get beyond 7 feet from you, you yank her. You just yank your wrist so she's forced to, it's like a leash, so she can never get beyond 7 feet. So you're always within eye distance or within punch distance. Not to punch your girlfriend, but to the guy who gets close to your girl, you punch her. Because we're very we are anti-domestic violence here at Verbal Graffiti. We are not fans of P. Diddy. We hope he gets into prison with Suge Knight and gets what's got coming to him. Third option. Last option here is not. Is it last option? Yeah. Last option here is what you could, you kind of want to mind fuck your girlfriend. So what you do, how you do this is you go in the gym and you be the one that gets hit on by the other babes. That way your lady will become insecure about her looks and think that you're actually the higher look ranking one in the relationship of the two of you. And she'll be so insecure that she'll be wanting to stay close with you. So the other babes, that scares them off. Now that might be an impossible task. And I say this because if your lady, your babe is getting hit on while you're with her outside the gym, that tells me, that action tells me that there's probably more than two numbers between your lady and you look wise. She's probably a 8 or a 9, maybe even a 10. Whoa. And you're probably more of a soft 6. You're hanging off the mountain ledge with your index fingers. You're barely hanging on to a 6. Your lady's a strong 8. So that's going to be hard, maybe even impossible, to warp your lady's mind and actually get hit on by other babes at the gym wearing hot yoga pants. But you're fucked. I talked this exercise out. You're fucked. And you're going to get fucked. Sorry. That's wrong. Your lady's going to get fucked by the personal trainer. Within 3 months, the personal trainer, and there's probably going to be a few at this gym. This is what personal trainers do. They work during the day. They'll have some overweight, past the wall John. They'll help him out on the treadmill. They'll have a couple of retirees that pay them $50 for a workout session. But really, all they're doing there is they're hunting their prey. And the personal trainer's prey is your girlfriend, your hot girlfriend with the yoga pants, wearing the neon cutter sports bra. And I'd say within 3 months, one of those personal trainers is going to get a blowjob from your girlfriend in the locker room on her lunch break while you're still at work. That's now, the only question is, when are you going to find out that your babe stepped out of pocket with you? Is it going to be a week after she has sex with a personal trainer, or is it going to be when you're on your honeymoon and after you've spent $30,000 on a wedding? I can't answer that, but I can say before the year 2025, your girlfriend is going to have a sexual relationship with one of the personal trainers at your gym, because that's what personal trainers do. They break up relationships. They have no moral code. They are at the fitness facility to fuck all of our girlfriends. That's what they put on their resume. When they apply to the gym, they go, "Hey, I'd love to be a personal trainer at your facility." On the resume, it's their stats and how many relationships they've broken up because of their attractiveness and ability to make women stray from their Johns like us. So, yeah, this relationship will be over very, very soon. I hope while you're at the gym with your girlfriend that you're able to focus, stay on task, lift those dumbbells, lift those weights. Because when your lady cheats on you, you're going to need your bicep to find a new babe at that gym to start a new relationship with. Let's go look at some photos. Verbal Graffiti, episode 66, segment 2. Please allow me to take a moment here to be an online panhandler. Please, begging you, share, like, subscribe, show this episode to an ex-friend, maybe somebody you have a vendetta against. And if you're watching Verbal Graffiti, you probably have a few people that you're holding a grudge against. I certainly do. Are they warranted? Is that grudge warranted? Probably not. But hey, the lens through which we see the world, it gives us black, tarred lung, even though we probably don't smoke cigarettes. That's just the way life is for us. So share this episode with them. Share it with a teacher that suspended you for vaping in the hallway, and that teacher who told you you would never amount to nothing and that your parents probably hate you. Send this in their email with a cute smiley face emoji. With that out of the way, I thank you for allowing me to do so. I have this thing on my mind, and no, it's not sluts, even though that's still on my mind. I have these simple tasks that I need to get done that I just don't do them. And they're it's such an easy task. This one I have now is I lost a key to my father's car, 2011 Camry. I have two keys, but I lost one. So I need to get a replacement. I've had to do this for about a month now. I went to the Toyota dealership nearest me. They told me they don't have the key machine. I went to Lowe's. They have a key machine. So I got the replacement made for $8. So that doesn't start my car, though. I made that replacement key. It will open my door. It will open my trunk. But when I put the key in the ignition, and yes, I drive a car where you still need to put the key in the ignition. R. Kelly, shout out. Great song. Not a great human being, but the song, banger, or flames, as they say now. It does not start the car. So, calling around, it's like every morning I wake up, I go, I got to call a dealership. I got to get this key made. Over a month now, and I haven't gotten it made. So every time I drive now, there's just this anxiety that I get. Like, I'm going to lose a key. I'm going to be lost out of my car. And it's unneeded anxiety. And for somebody like me who I have very extreme OCD. We'll get to that in a future episode. I have a lot of anxiety to begin with. And just to have this other anxiety that would so easily be relieved if I would just get a spare key made. For some reason, there's always these tasks that I just do not complete the task. And it weighs on me day after day. And I know I can't be the only one. So actually yesterday, I called another dealership. They told me they can make the key. It would be about $400, which is crazy. How the hell does a spare key cost $400? I don't know. I'm not a mechanic. That's probably why they can charge me so much. They told me, I talked to parts. I gave them my car VIN number. They sent me to the service department. I got hit with the answering machine. I left a short message telling them my plight. Never heard back. Today, I was like, well, I'm going to call them. I didn't call them. So I need to call them tomorrow. Got to get this task complete so I can just rid myself of that anxiety that I have. Ugh. Ugh. Do not want to get locked out of my car. Also, I do know that there is a glare on some of these books titles. Covers, sorry. I know we're like 66 episodes in. I've been trying different ways because I have a light behind the camera that comes down on me that makes me look beautiful and handsome. But I didn't realize this when I made this set that the way the material that book covers are made out of, it shines, the light reflects off of it. And so now I put like a sheet over the light to try to bounce the light off that to dim the covers. Obviously, it did not work. I'm working on it. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not a set designer, although amateur set designer. We'll try to get that fixed. Believe me, it is bothering me. So if it's bothering you, know that we're both being bothered together. Kiss on the cheek to you for that. Anything? Oh, if you know what this hat is, you are a real one, and you do know your American history. All right, let's find something else I found on Reddit. This one comes from the subreddit for polyamory. Ooh, baby, this is going to be interesting. Feeling like a dirty secret, the partner no one claims publicly. Been there. Vent. I'm not new to polyamorous relationships, but after a divorce from my monogamous husband, I found myself single and back to starting up new relationships again in the poly community. Good for you. I am a 36-year-old female and identify as bisexual, just for context. I am currently involved with a man in a poly open marriage. I haven't met his wife. As far as I know, she has other partners, and he just has his wife and I. I am also involved in a triad-ish situation with an established male-female couple. They both consider me to be their girlfriend. Neither couple is out as poly, So only in private am I their girlfriend. With the couple, I've gone to multiple things where there was friends and or family members present, and they explained me as a friend they met online. I understand the reason behind keeping everything hush-hush, but it still doesn't make me feel any better about being everybody's secret. Lot going on there. Kind of felt like I was reading some, like, the defensive assignment for an upcoming football game. Like, we were talking to our defensive coordinator with all these moving parts and who we have to cover and who we have to hush-hush and who's out in the open. I'm a dude. Everything goes back to a sports analogy with me. The problem you have is you're giving up your Furburger way too easily. Your Furburger is like a rec league basketball. Everybody's getting equal playing time with it. What you need to do is only allow varsity players who pass the tryouts right after Thanksgiving, and only allow the starters on a varsity team inside of your Furburger. You're giving it up way too much, way too easily, and that's why you're in these precarious situations with who you think you're in a relationship with. And that's the other thing we need to get to. You are not in a relationship. You are not anybody's girlfriend. You're the side piece. That's who you are. Okay? This guy you think you're in a relationship with, okay? He's a poly open marriage, yet you've never met his wife. I hate to break it to you, but you're his mistress. All right, his wife has no idea who you are. Or whenever her husband is away, his wife assumes that her husband is either working late or at the grocery store, not on a date with you. His wife does not know you exist. You are 100% the mistress in that triangle. And in that Venn diagram, the wife doesn't know you exist. So you're just his fuck toy. That's the problem. Like, right now, that's what you are. You are an on-call fuck doll for this poly open marriage guy and for this male-female not in the open triad couple. Sorry if I don't have all the terminology correct. I am mostly a monogamous fuck boy, so poly's tough. As the Beatles say, what, two is a perfect number. As for the in the closet poly couple, where you're like the third piece, the third wheel, they're allowing you to go to events with them to shut you up and to keep this good thing going behind the bedroom doors. They don't want you to go to these events. Sorry, ooh, about to get a cramp. Sorry, went running earlier, didn't drink enough water. Ooh, that's scary when you feel like you're almost going to get a cramp. All right. Focus. Back on task, Brian. B-man, get to it. Okay. Yeah, this couple, the only reason why they're bringing you to these events is so they can continue to use you as a fuck doll in their bedroom or wherever it is else you have sex with them. This is the one I don't understand, because the married guy, I understand that. He's lying to you just so he could get your Furburger. That's what he's doing. This poly couple that are bringing you to events, as a guy, I come from a big family. I'm the youngest of five. I have plenty of nieces and nephews. I have extended family. So I've been to a lot of family events, and I've been to a lot of parties with friends of mine. So I don't understand how this works, or how this hasn't come to the forefront from your family's perspective. Was there no conversation before you go to these events with your family members or with their family members? Was there no conversation before you went, like, hey, what are you going to introduce me as when I meet your family? Usually when there's a new couple or a new dynamic, that conversation is usually had at the latest, like on the car ride to the party. Somebody will bring up, when you have to introduce me, girlfriend, boyfriend, side piece, poly, what are we going to say? Now you say they introduce you as a friend they met online, as a family member or an extended family member. I'm asking follow-ups. Am I alone with that? Like, if you have a family member who's in a known, regular, monogamous relationship, and they come to your family reunion or wedding or formal event, and then there's that couple that you know about, and then there's this other babe that they have with them in a cocktail dress, hanging out in a corner, eating on the shrimp cocktail. And then I ask, because I'm a nosy family member, well, who's the babe? Who's the lady in the cocktail dress drinking all my liquor? Like, who is that? How do you know each other? And if you told me, oh, we met online, that's when I start probing and asking more questions. And that's where I start to become an amateur forensic detective, because I'm going to pry till I find the real answer. Because just saying, oh, yeah, we became friends online through some group meetup, that's not enough to get the B-man off the case. And I don't think I'm alone thinking that at all. There are going to be... How does their family not pepper you with questions until they get the real answer that the three of you are fucking when you're not at this party? Okay. This is a little frustrating to me because I see no scenario where there's just a random lady at a party connected to you, to that couple, without any questions being asked. And even if there aren't any questions asked and we just play along with your online friendship, as soon as you, the three of you, leave, like as soon as you get in the back seat of that couple's Subaru, I'm turning to everybody else in my family and I'm going, what the fuck was that all about? Who is she? What do we think that's all about? And that's all we're going to talk. As soon as you leave the party, that's all we're talking about is you being the third wheel to that couple that we're family with. The next day, group text, family text, full, like bold letters, like, who is that? We want to know the truth. We're having an intervention the next day. We're getting to the bottom of this. The fact that nobody in their family is probing to figure out who you are as the poly third wheel in this relationship, that puzzle piece doesn't fit to me. Somebody in that family has to be asking, who are you? Why are you bringing this weirdo, this poly divorced woman that you've never known before recently to our family reunion? Now, if it's a 4th of July party or just a big gathering for like the Super Bowl, that's understandable. But a formal family event, no, I'm going forensic detective on your ass, and I'm figuring it out sooner rather than later. So, yeah, you're giving up your Furburger way too easily. You got to cross your legs, and yeah, you might go without sex for a while, but it's better that than being the side piece. So, although I like being the side piece, but apparently you don't. So yeah, you can't give up the Furburger without the commitment to being in an open poly relationship. Now, I also want to say, much respect to all of you in the poly community. I'm not part of it, but I have so much respect for all of you. And I say this because just the mental bandwidth to be able to have a polyamorous relationship, I don't have that. There have been times where I've been calling, texting two or three women at the same time. Inevitably, I end up texting the wrong girl, the wrong thing, and they all find out about it. And then I end up at night gooning Mr. Perfect by my lonesome. I'm not savvy. I'm not quick enough. My brain does not work fast enough to handle multiple women at the same time. The fact that there are people in your community that can do this successfully and be able to control your emotions and your rage and your jealousy and keep it seemingly, you know, an above board loving relationship with multiple partners at the same time. Like I said, I don't have the mental bandwidth for it, and I don't have the emotional strength to do so. So for all of you who that are able or in that community and are surviving and thriving, much love to you, much respect. I would love to talk to one of you. Actually, I'd like to learn more about the poly community. I have studied a little bit of it. I do know the problem I have emotionally is like if I'm kind of, you know, dating a babe and then I have sex with another babe, I start masturbating to the new babe. Like, I think about the newest piece I got because new pussy is better than regular pussy. So like, that's what's going to be on my mind. And now I'm going to start thinking of the new babe when I'm having sex with the old babe. And that, like, it's just my mind, I'm not strong enough for it. I have read up about, like, new relationship energy and how, like, poly couples, yeah, when you start dating somebody new, that you're able to put a lid on that new relationship energy and just kind of keep it there and not let it overwhelm you. So I do know a little bit about that, but yeah, I don't have the strength for it. It's tough to have a full-time job, to have a side project, and then to have multiple women or guys or partners of the same sex. Keeping all those orbits like successful and not completely like if I have a full-time job, I have verbal graffiti, I do stand-up comedy. If I had to do like the poly lifestyle, I would be the hobo doing heroin right by the Starbucks entrance. I'd be the one begging you for money so that I could get more drugs. That's who I would be if I even made an attempt at a polyamorous type relationship. So kudos to all of you in the poly community. Know that I am not in your community, but know that I am looking up at you with awe. So yeah, to all you in the poly and to all you normies, just boring, wet pavement, monogamous relationship people, go suck a fat one.